Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. I'm Shauna.
And I'm Laura.
And we're friends and writing partners, and we discovered we're pregnant at the same time, so we started a podcast about it.
This week, we've got our weekly check-ins, and then we check Google to find out what's going on with the acoustics in Shauna's uterus, and then we close with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
We are in episode 13, and we are going to start the show like we start every show with our weekly check-ins. Shauna, what week of pregnancy are you at, and what's going on in your life this week?
So I'm week 24. This is crazy. This is just flying by. What's going on this week is I feel huge. Like, my stomach just feels so big, and I can't believe I have three more months to grow. I was going to say to go, but I guess also to grow.
You're growing and going.
Going. Yes. Yeah. So the reason it struck me is that I went shopping the other day at Marshall's for some just maternity dresses or whatever, because it's been hot and I don't want to wear pants. And so I saw myself in a full length mirror for the first time in a while, because the one we have at home broke. And I don't really like look at myself in a full length mirror. And I was just like, oh, belly. Oh, my God. I just did not know how big it had gotten. So I was just like kind of awestruck in the dressing room, taking in my new form. And none of the dresses really worked. I was just trying to find stuff off the rack in like a bigger size and pull it off. And it's not working.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, Marshall's doesn't really have a maternity section, right?
No.
You're just looking for loose, cottony dresses.
Yeah.
Right?
Which basically look like potato sacks on me at this point. It's just so unflattering. So it was not a success.
I've discovered that recently, like, because I have a lot of like very loose, flowy cotton dresses, and like they fit still, but yeah, you just look like you're completely shapeless. And I'm like, oh, this is why you want some ruching around the belly, because you kind of want
ruching.
Ruching and elastics are very, very helpful.
Yeah, I need to find some ruching. Don't go to Marshall's for ruching, people. They don't have it.
Ruching is not in this season. Actually, it might be. I could be totally wrong, because I don't know anything about fashion.
Who knows? I think it's always in for pregnant ladies.
Yes.
It's the staple.
Indeed.
But yeah, that's pretty much all that's going on with me. What about you?
I'm in week 20, which is like a big deal. It's halfway, right?
Uh-huh.
And that also means I got to have my anatomy scan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. How did it go?
So I went in to see the perinatologist, and his name, maybe I shouldn't use his name, even though he's lovely and I'm only going to say nice things about him. But if that changes in the future, we'll just say I was going to see the perinatologist.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I actually feel pretty lucky, because I've never had a tech do an ultrasound. I've always had my doctor or the perinatologist do it.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm gathering is unusual.
Oh, yeah.
Do you always have your doctor do it?
Well, in the very, very beginning, yeah. But like for the big one, the NT scan and the 20-week anatomy scan, those were all technicians. And then the doctor comes in afterwards.
Yeah, so I had no idea how spoiled I was, because I've never had an ultrasound tech. It's always been my doctor or the perinatologist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading on the baby boards, people being upset because they were going to get their 20-week scans, their anatomy scans, or their NT scans. And then, you know, the tech would kind of say something vague, and then they'd have to wait 48 hours to hear back from the doctor and stuff like that.
Oh.
I haven't had any of those problems. So nice to go in and have the doctor just do it. But it's also very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had my NT scan, I mentioned that my mom's a geneticist, and the perinatologist sort of offhand was like, oh, she should come down for your anatomy scan.
Oh.
So I mentioned that. He was like, oh, she might find it interesting. I was like, all right. So I mentioned that to my mom, and she jumped on it. So my mom actually came down for a couple days, and it was really nice to see her. And she, it was really fun to see her. She actually took me maternity clothes shopping, which was sweet.
Yay.
And we got to do, you know, some mom-daughter time. She hasn't seen me since I was pregnant, so she was real excited to see me. And then we went to the anatomy scan, and it's funny because she was like, don't ask me about what's going to happen, or, you know, she's like, don't talk to me about the outcomes beforehand, because she was clearly a little nervous. And she, what the reason why is she's like, I live in the world of abnormal. The mm-hmm. only people who come see me are the ones who get the bad scans. She's, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, I never see a normal anatomy scan.
Oh, God.
yeah. So she's like, she's like, I am not someone to be relying on for reassurance, or, you know, because in her world, these all go wrong.
Well, would she know what she's looking at? I mean, I know she's a doctor and everything, but I look at these things and I have no clue what these bits and pieces are that they're measuring. It's all Greek to me. Would she even be able to translate those pictures and stuff?
I think not as well as the perinatologist, but yeah, she was pretty good at it. And so we went into the scan and the doctor came in and started doing it. And the thing about having a doctor do it is fast. Like mm-hmm. everyone was warning me like, oh, it's going to take forever to have your anatomy scan. Like, I think our friend Stephen Carey, it took like an hour or more of wow. being like under the wand. for me, it was, you know, he was just like, joop, joop. It was very, like, very all business, but pretty cool. And my mom seemed to understand what was going on. And I actually could tell when he was there pointing it out, it was pretty cool. He was like, all right, so here's the spine. Spine's all there. Spine's good. Head to tail, looking great. There's the brain. Brain looks good. Brain doesn't have too much fluid. That's what we want to see. All right, there's the femur. Femur's good
length. Oh, that's nice. Like, you got a narration.
I got a total walkthrough. It was real. And I don't know if he was doing that, if he does that for all his patients, or if he was doing it special for my mom. But it was actually really fun. And he was like, I mean, it was fun because, as you can probably tell, everything was perfectly fine. So
that's good.
Yeah, that was a real relief. And I didn't realize how much I was sort of secretly worried that something was going to go wrong. You know, I wasn't full of anxiety, but it was also one of those things where I didn't know. Like, basically up until that point, I was kind of telling people I was pregnant, not that I was going to have a baby. Because in my mm-hmm. mind, I still thought, well, I still might not have a baby. Like, if it goes horribly wrong in the anatomy scan and there, you know, baby has no brain, baby, you know, something is terribly mm-hmm. wrong. I'm not having a baby. I had a pregnancy. So, which I didn't realize was I was being quite that pessimistic until afterwards. And I was very relieved.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, so, I wonder how much of that comes from you being the daughter of someone who only sees the bad.
Oh.
Because, you know, I'm nervous too. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh. I think it like 100% has to do with that because, mm-hmm. you know, my whole life I've been seeing the worst case scenarios. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm certain that that is a huge contributing factor. So, but it was cool. And yeah, we saw everything and we didn't get any cute 3D ultrasounds. I don't think they offer 3D ultrasounds unless there's a medical necessity, which is fine, because I mm-hmm. don't know if I needed that crispy lasagna, but throwback to a previous episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't get any, like, he didn't try very hard to get cute sonograms, like cute little profiles. What I did come away with, which was, like, the most clearly, like, this is a picture of the baby. It is, like, the most terrifying sonogram I've ever seen. The baby looks like a weird, like, alien skeleton. I mean, it's scary.
I don't know if it's the scariest thing I've ever seen, but it's not the best angle.
It's not a great angle. He hasn't found his angles yet.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that. He's going to watch some Top Model and we'll work on his angles. But it is, I'll post it. I'll post it on our Instagram so listeners can make up their own mind. But to me, it looks like a terrifying Skeletor baby. so, but that was my week. And, this is the other great part. So, you know, as you know, and our listeners know, I have an anterior placenta mm-hmm. like you.
That's right.
And it was also kind of low. And so there was some concern that it was going to be a, you know, either partially blocking or fully blocking my cervix, which is placenta previa, which ends up being a whole series of complications and makes your, you know, makes birth way more difficult and risky. So I was asking about it and the perinatologist, he measured, and it was low still, but just far enough away that he's like, I don't need to see you again. It's still good. It's going to migrate even further away. But when he was measuring the distance between my placenta and my cervix, he was like, man, has anyone ever told you have a perfect cervix?
What?
I mean, it sounds like I'm making it sound a little like more risque than it is. He was just like, that's a perfect cervix. You got a perfect cervix there. And I was like, wow.
I have so many questions. What makes a perfect cervix? And B, why would anyone have told you that before? Who would have told you that?
That is a really good question, Shauna. Number two. Number one, from what I can tell, it was long enough. Like, it was nice and thick, and it was, like, totally closed.
Good.
That's the best I can figure out. That's what makes up a perfect cervix. I feel like a perfect cervix is, like, our next band name.
Yeah, definitely. Spin off to Perfect Circle 20 years later.
All right. Well, that's the end of my week.
Cool. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP.
Our next segment is What I Googled This Week, where we divulge what we have been searching the internet for related to our pregnancies. Laura, what did you Google?
All right. I Googled, this is in quotes, pregnant can't burp lying down.
What? Tell me this must be a thing. Other people must have this problem.
You know, I haven't been able to find an answer to how many people. There are definitely other people. Thankfully, I found other people having the same problem. I think Googling that is difficult, too, because no one understands the proper conjugation of the verb to lie or to lay. There's a lot of variations you have to Google before you can actually find the answer. Other people were saying if they're lying on their back, they can't get a burp out. I also discovered that a lot of people call it trapped air, which I find strangely disgusting. Like, ew. The idea of trapped air.
Well, that just sounds like a fart stuck in your esophagus.
I mean, what is there a difference?
Oh my God, no.
It's just a mouth fart. There's a difference. It's mm-hmm. One's digested and one's not.
Yes.
So I used to have this problem. Before pregnancy, I had Googled burping lying on left side, because for some weird reason, if I was lying down on my left side, I would just have like continuous like gurgles of like gas coming from my stomach.
You're doing your poor esophageal problems.
I know. My esophagus is real fucked up. That's when I realized that, you know, it has to do with the shape of your stomach. You know, it's not a sphere. It's like a weird, like sort of like almost kidney shape, right? Or like oblong. So, you know, the esophagus goes into one side. So if you're on your left side, you know, the stomach, as it pulls towards that side and like things gurgle up more easily. If you're on the right side, there's more space between the contents of your stomach and the entrance from your sphincter, between your esophagus and your stomach. But for some reason, now that I'm pregnant, I don't know, the alchemy of like how, like the architecture of my midsection is like all messed up. So I can't get a burp out if I'm lying down. And I don't know about you, but one of my major pregnancy side effects is that I'm burping like constantly.
Oh, it's not one of mine, but I do know you've had a lot of heartburn. So I feel like that's all related.
Yeah. And apparently the progesterone makes you extra gassy. And yeah, so that's apparently totally normal and common. But then in addition, not being able to expel it when I'm lying down, and I'm not even talking like full on lying on my back, any kind of reclining position. So the other night we're like watching The Crown. Corey and I have just started watching The Crown, and I'm like lying down watching like Claire Foy be Queen Elizabeth and being all proper, and I like was feeling like weird in my stomach, so I sat up and I just let out like the most gigantic belch.
And Corey's like, ah, my queen.
Yes, yes, yes. Corey, I was like, I'm sorry, babe. I am no longer sexy in like any way.
Like, oh, no.
So.
Oh, man, what pregnancy does to our sex appeal.
Yeah. So how about you? What were you Googling this week?
So this week I Googled, do babies cry in the womb?
Oh, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Have you ever wondered, though?
No.
No, right? Okay.
But now so... I'm, like, dying to find out.
So here's a little bit of backstory about this. So this week, Steve and I, my husband and I, went to a movie. Our first movie all year. It's ridiculous because we're parents. We never get out. Anyways, the trailers were so loud. I mean, deafening. And all of a sudden it's like my baby just whipped to life and was really? Just like, oh my God, it was crazy. She was kicking so hard, just rolling around, punching me. And I got really freaked out. I was like, oh my God, is this too loud for her? Is it hurting her ears? Is it scaring her?
Yeah.
I was really worried. So of course I had to Google, like, can babies like get scared, like hear stuff and get scared in the womb and whatever. Aww. And like, can the loud sounds hurt her ears? And basically the answer to that is no, because, you know, there's so much between her and the outside world. It's very muffled, lots of fluid and everything. But I do like that one site was like, if you wear earplugs, that's not going to help shield your fetus from loud sounds. Like, no shit.
Oh, people don't understand how sound works.
No, they don't. But anyway, as I was freaking out / Googling about all of this, someone mentioned that they had the same worry and Googled, do babies cry in the womb? Because I was worried about her being scared in there. So then I'm like, well, of course I need to Google, do babies cry in the womb? And I found out that recent research suggests that they do.
What?
Yes!
Shut the front. Wait, we're a podcast that can curse. Shut the fuck up, Shauna. Oh, that, now that just sounds mean. Wait, okay, wait. So the, okay. How? And do they make actual noise?
So I don't know if they make noise. But so new research shows that fetuses may learn to express their displeasure. This is a quote from some website. I don't know what. By crying silently while in the womb as early as the 28th week of pregnancy. Aww. Now, I'm not there
not
yet.
There.
I'm only on
yeah.
24. So I think my baby was like startled and maybe freaked out, but she wasn't crying about it, I don't think. But they said that video recorded ultrasound images in the third trimester show that the fetuses, like, in a startled response to low decibel noise playing in the abdomen, they display crying behavior, like opening their mouths, depressing their tongues, taking irregular breaths, and then they settle back down again. So, I mean, I don't know if it's technically crying, but images have shown that they're behaving as if they're crying.
Aww.
But I guess they got to get practice for that, too. They practice everything else in there.
Well, yeah, and preemies cry, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense. I just never thought about it, and now I'm going to have nightmares. So.
I know. Sorry. I'm sorry, world. It does remind me that last time I was pregnant, my best friend asked me this question, and I was just like, what? That's ridiculous. No. And I just didn't even think to even Google it or anything. And it's come back around this time, and I've found out the truth.
The truth is out there. The truth is in there.
Yeah.
In your uterus. Maybe she wasn't startled, though. Maybe she was just really jazzed about, like, the next Mission Impossible or something.
Oh, yeah. I think she can't wait to see Tom Cruise and hang off the edge of a helicopter when she gets born.
He did those stunts himself, Shauna.
I know. It's impressive.
It is impressive.
Very impressive. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna. Think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know
doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
So we wrap up every episode with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the weeks, our BFPs and our BFNs. And Shauna, what do you have for us this week?
This week I have a BFN, which is bending over.
Oh, no.
As I mentioned before, I feel like I'm getting huge. My stomach is really sticking out there, and bending over is so uncomfortable. Just like bending over, especially when you have a toddler. Good God, I bend over constantly, like, put your leg in your undies, put your leg in your shorts, put, you know, and I'm just like, ooh, gasping for breath. I'm certain I'm squishing this baby. It's just very uncomfortable, but it's something it's hard to avoid. I don't know how to not bend over.
Yeah, is this a thing where you have to start squatting? Like, you know how they're always like, lift with your legs, not with your back. Is that just what has to happen?
Are you suggesting I exercise?
I would never.
Maybe that's why my legs have been hurting lately, actually, because maybe I'm subconsciously accommodating by squatting instead of bending over.
Which is good for you, right? For birth. Yeah. Although, I guess it doesn't matter for you.
No, I'm having a planned C-section because I had one last time. So I don't have to worry about that too much. But
quad strength is good at any time.
I think so, especially since I've been pretty much immobile for no good reason this whole pregnancy. So I guess it's good to get some exercise.
Like, yeah, I'm just thinking about, like, ergonomics, right? Like, they're always telling you to squat down instead of leaning, right? And using your back.
Yeah. But it just seems so unnatural to, like, squat down to tie your shoe. Like,
yeah.
even like, if I'm sitting on the couch, you know, I'm, like, bend over to grab, like, something falls on the floor. It's like, everything compacts and your baby goes into your lungs and your lungs go into your throat. And I don't know if you're there yet, but it just, everything is just like, squished up.
Well, I'm definitely getting squished up. And I have noticed that, like, I can't quite do all the things I've been needing to do as far as, like, reaching for things. Even, I guess, like, reaching to the side, too. I'm like, oh, there's something there. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I did have the thought of, like, how am I going to get my shoes on eventually? literally, I don't know.
Sandals? Slip-ons? Yeah. Or
it's
going to
be winter. I know it's Los Angeles, but, you know.
Yeah. I think a friend of ours, I think she's mentioned before that she had her husband help her put on her shoes and boots and stuff towards the end.
Yeah. I think that's going to have to happen.
Yeah. That's why we got married, Laura.
That is the number one reason.
Yes.
Folks out there, if you're thinking about marriage, just know you'll need someone to put your shoes on when you're pregnant.
Da-da-da-da. Anyway, so BFP or BFM this week?
All right. So I have a BFP that might sound like a BFN, but I'm going to explain myself.
Mm-hmm.
So my BFP, positive, is an article it was an essay, really, that was published in the Paris Review by a woman named Claudia Day, who I actually hadn't heard of. And the title of the article, or the essay, is Mothers as Makers of Death.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound cheerful. And it's not cheerful, but the reason it's a BFP for me is that, first of all, it's a beautifully written essay. And of course, I will post a link to this on our website so everyone can read it. But it's a beautifully written essay. And as a person who loves writing and reading, I just love anything that's really well written and honest. And I love, you know, Shauna, you and I both have done a lot of life storytelling. And I just love a first person essay that's just really raw and beautiful. And on top of it, I just love when people are honest about their feelings about motherhood. So it's the essay is just kind of about how it's musings on her trying to write a novel and how she was sort of left alone by her husband took her kids and allowed her to be alone to finish the novel, and how once you give birth, you're never alone again, and how just all this stuff, you know, a lot of kind of philosophical musings on what it means to be a mother, that, you know, you cleave into these two humans and you're no longer able to just think of yourself because you have this piece of yourself that's walking around outside of your body. And it's not like a cheery, like, what a magical, wonderful time of your life article. And that's exactly why I like it, because I get kind of sick of that shit, of all the, like, oh, you're gonna be like, this is, everything's gonna change, and it's gonna be so beautiful and magical. And like, I commented on somebody on one of my Facebook groups said something about they were asking for advice about how to limit the number of toys and gifts that their mother-in-law would bring their kids all the time, because they were just, every time they showed up with new toys and new stuff, and they didn't have any room for it, and it drove them crazy. And I commented, like, oh, I'm pregnant with my first and I'm terrified of this happening because we live in a small house and I don't like a lot of clutter. And some woman commented, she's like, what did she say? She was like, you shouldn't be terrified. You should be excited. You're about to meet the love of your life and it'll bring so much joy in your life. You shouldn't worry about these little things. And I'm like,
let me be multidimensional about my emotions, first
Thank
of all.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Clap for Shauna. But yeah, it was just like, I'm allowed, like, I may be terrified. I was being a little hyperbolic. I'm not literally shaking in the corner because I'm afraid my mom is going to buy too many toys for the baby. But, you know, it's a concern I have. I have a tidy life that I enjoy. I'm not like a total neat freak. I like not having a ton of clutter, and it's a worry I have. And it felt so belittling to me. And then it also like was this sort of policing of the tone that you're supposed to take around motherhood. Like everything is supposed to be a fucking joy, that, you know? And so that's why when I read this article, and thankfully another mom friend of mine had posted it, and I was like, yes, I was like, this is everything. So that's why it's my BFP. I want to share it. It's a little dark. Nobody actually dies in the essay. It's not like one of those essays in the New York Times, Modern Love or Loss or whatever, where they're like, and then everyone in my family died and I had to learn how to deal with it. It's not like that. It's just like philosophical musings on the connection between motherhood and death. And it's fabulously written, and it really made me have a lovely, nice reflection.
Sounds more realistic. I like it. Also, I like how yours in this segment is like literature, and mine is like bending over. You know what? It's okay. Pregnancy just encompasses all. So, and it does. I can't wait to read that article.
Bending over also sucks. So, like, we're allowed to be concerned about both of them. Yes, I will send you another article, and it will be on our website.
All right, cool. All right, that's it for our show today. Thank you guys so much for listening. We would love it if you would rate and subscribe. And let us know what you Googled this week or what your BFPs or BFNs are. Laura, where can they find us?
We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community you can join, but if you go to the BFP Podcast account on Facebook, it links right to it. Super easy. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, where you can get our show notes and see the links to my terrifying sonogram and the cool article I was just talking about.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Always have chapstick.
Gotta have chapstick.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it in a bag that makes a lot of really rustling sounds that are perfect for radio.